Greetings to you, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you in the nighttime drive once again from the lovely island nation of Sri Lanka, where the place is beautiful, the nation is a gorgeous example of God's creation, and it is also an example of the world system gone crazy as well. Both coexisting in the same place. And God causes His rain to fall on the righteous and on the unrighteous, on the wicked and the just. You know, in this life, light and dark exist simultaneously in this dimension, in this paradigm. You know, this is the place where this happens. It doesn't happen after this life. After this life, all of the trash and the refuse and the garbage of this world gets thrown into eternal fire where it is left to burn for all eternity. You know, there's an interchangeable word that Jesus, when they were talking about hell, and you know, Jesus talked a lot about hell. Jesus spoke a ton about hell. So it's worth going back and reading. But there was a word that sometimes it was used in reference, which was Gehenna. And Gehenna was a place outside of the city where they would burn the trash. And, you know, it would be smoking and smoldering, and they would dump it there and burn it. And, you know, fitting similarity drawn in that those that choose to reject their redemption in this life, and truly this life, there's an opportunity for redemption. You can be redeemed by the blood of Christ. Your value and your worth can be restored in Him. You can be set free from the world and the world system. But if you go on from this life into the next, not having been redeemed, then you face the consequence of that. And you face, one, having to pay the price for everything that you've ever done, and no man can pay that. And the eternal consequence is also being confined to the place for that which is not redeemed, that which has no value, no eternal value, that which is worthless. You know, those that are thrown into hell have chosen it, and also they themselves have deemed themselves worthless because they haven't understood what true worth is. See, the things that people think are important in this life, or the things that people think are important, I should say, if the priorities have been set by the world and the world system, they missed it. Because everything in the world is passing away. Everything in this life is temporary. Everything on this side of eternity does not last. Therefore, why are you going to put your stock and everything that you are in this? Why? Don't you realize that when this life is over, that all that is here in this life, you don't take any of it with you? You know, the pharaohs and the kings in Egypt, they built massive pyramids and tombs for themselves, thinking that, okay, if we just take these tombs and if we put in our stuff, if we, we'll put our stuff here and we'll bury it all with us and we'll take it with us to the afterlife. They even buried their slaves alive in so many of those situations, thinking that they could take it with them. You don't take anything with you when you leave this place. The only thing that you take with you when you leave this life is your relationship with God and your relationship with your brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Those are the only things of eternal value that last when you leave this life. All the rest, hey, remains here. That's it. It's over. So all this stuff about striving and trying to, all these things about trying to make a name for oneself in this life? For what? For what? What are you going to do with it? You know, here's the funny thing though. When you don't chase after those things, when you're not looking to be exalted in the eyes of the world, God's got a funny way of lifting you up anyways. Because promotion comes from the Lord. He lifts one up and He takes another one down. And God has the power to do that, and God does do that. He lifts up those that He chooses to, and He tears down those that He chooses to. And I have seen with my own eyes when there are people that have crossed that line and spoken against the living God in their own pride, their own arrogance, I have seen Him reduce them to nothing and remind them and those around them that they are but breath in their nostrils, which is on loan from Him, and dust that returns to the ground. You know, there's a story in the scriptures when the king of Assyria sought to attack the people of God, and they sent, you know, their envoy went, and they're standing before the wall, and Hezekiah, the king, was inside, and they were speaking against the children of Israel. They came with 186,000 soldiers. 186,000 soldiers. A massive army by any standard, even today. And these soldiers were about to siege the entire city in the process of that. And the children of Israel were inside. And they came and they stood there and they bragged and they boasted about what they were going to do to the children of Israel. And they crossed the line when they said, and your God's not going to be able to do anything about it. They crossed the line when they spoke words against God, comparing Him to the other gods, comparing Yahweh to the other gods, the other idols, the other things that have, that are just made by human hands. We serve the living God. And they spoke against Him. And that very night, God sent His angel into their camp. And the angel of the living God slaughtered 186,000 men in a single night. Just put them all to death. Guy woke up the next day from the Assyrian king, and ran home with his tail between his legs, only to be killed by his two sons, once he got back, once he was worshiping in the temple of his pagan god. So, you know, people in this world, when they have a little bit of worldly success, a little bit of worldly ambition goes forward for them, they think that they're something, and they forget their place. They forget their place. Look, every person in this life, you are a created being. You're a created being with an eternal soul. Don't forget, there's somebody that created you. There's somebody that you depend on for your very next breath. That's why scriptures admonish people in Psalms, in the Psalms 2 and Psalms 149, it says specifically to the kings of the earth, you know, kiss the Son, lest He be angered and you be destroyed in His wrath. To the kings of the earth, you know, why do they plot a vain scheme? God laughs at them. Because you know what? The time comes, and it comes quickly. And when it comes, He settles accounts. We talked about that in our last audio. God settles accounts. And there is no hiding from the living God. There's no hiding from death. Appointed unto every man is a time to die. And after that, the judgments. There is no hiding from death. There's no hiding from the end of this life. You know, and the worlders keep going. You know what? The worlders don't know what to do if they're not engaged in the world. If they're not involved in it, they wouldn't know what to do. If they're cut off from their collective, they're completely at a loss. They need to feed. And they need to feed on the children of light. They need to feed on those that have life in them, because they have nothing inside themselves. They're empty. They're a hollow. They're cut off. You know, there is hope for the children of God. You know, we are those that have hope. See, one of the reasons why we talk about this stuff is because, look, if you know what it is that you're in for, if you know what it is that you're living with, if you know what it is that's going on around you, then you won't be surprised. It won't surprise you. It won't be, you won't be caught off guard. You'll understand what you're in the middle of. You'll understand why that you know, scriptures talk about so much of this whole thing we're in as being a battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places, powers, principalities. We're wrestling against those. Then it talks about putting on the full armor of Christ, putting on the full armor of Christ. Helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth, feet shod with the gospel of the preparation of peace, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Why armor? Why armor? It's because you're at war. You are at a spiritual war against a wicked foe. And either you're going to man up and you're going to figure out, allow God to reveal to you what's going on, and you're going to start walking this thing out, or you're just going to be sitting on the side, just getting kicked around for no reason at all. When there's power inside of you, you're just going to be getting kicked around for no reason. You're like the 600-pound gorilla on the playground, and some 30-pound pipsqueak comes over and takes your lunch money. The power's in you. Greater is he that lives in you than he that lives in the world. So why is it that you are the victim? When did you become the victim? When did you become the woe is me? When did you become the sad, sorry, suffering saint? Look, all that ended on the cross. Jesus Christ said, "It is finished." And a lot of stuff finished right then and there. At the resurrection, new life happened. New life began. New start began. All of it changed. All of it changed. A new life, new hope, new beginning, new truth. The truth of the gospel. The truth of the new covenant, which was in Christ Jesus. The old covenant revealed. God's redemptive plan made available. And that truth revealed was what we now live in. You know, if you gotta, sometimes I know some friends out there, you struggle sometimes with some of the scriptures, because you know, you read some of the Old Testament and then you wonder what that is all about, and then you read the New, and look, you gotta also understand that God was working out a redemptive plan in time. And there's something amazing there, because, you know, as eternity and as eternal beings and as an eternal God setting things in motion, creating time, and then working out in time something that is set in eternity. I mean, it's incredible, the transition between paradigms just like that. But God was working out, has been working out, an eternal plan of salvation and redemption inside of time. And you and I are living in the middle of that. So we are leaving. We are living in that period, post resurrection and pre return of Christ. You know, and we know from the scriptures that the same Jesus that, as the angel spoke to the disciples, that left a certain way would come back in a certain way. We know that God, in His time, is going to fulfill His plan in the earth. And you and I have a role to play in that plan. Now, I know sometimes there's an element for people of self-aggrandizement. And people sometimes read way too much into some of these things and think that they got to be this or got to be that or something is... Look, you know, you're special because God says you're special. All right? You don't have to be somebody written about in the Bible. Yes, you can relate to that which is written in the Bible, but it doesn't have to be... You don't have to be one of the 144,000, okay? You know, it's funny how so often with so many of the cults that go on, how, you know, they part of it is self-exaltation in trying to make themselves something more than what they are. You know, the desire to be something more than what they are. And look, just people just got to relax. Be who God made you to be. You know, you don't have to fix anything. You just have to be what God made you to be. You can relax in that. You can just enjoy letting God reveal to you what life is and walking it out with Him. We do what we can, where we can, when we can. You will never truly understand the impact that your life makes as you walk with Christ. You'll never truly understand it until probably this life is over. And eternity is allowed to reveal things for what they are. Because, you know, it's surprising because so many times the things that people think are small stuff, they make a huge difference. So many times the things that people belittle, as something as simple as just a smile or just a pat on the back or a timely word makes such a difference in somebody else's life. You know, I know for myself there's been times where, you know, I've not been feeling like I'm in the best of situations where, you know, my own life, I feel stretched, I felt tired, I felt discouraged in my own times. But I know even in those seasons when God's put me in situations and He's quickened me to do something and His Spirit's moved through me, how that opportune word at the opportune time to the right person has made a world of difference in their own life. And the Spirit of God has worked through a willing vessel to accomplish His will. Look, a big part of this whole thing, it's just being available. That's all it is. You don't have to be anything. You don't have to be anything more than that. Just submit yourself to the will of the living God. Make yourself available to whatever it is that He's doing. And just let it be that. You know, it's okay. It's all right. You don't have to do much more than that. You know, you bow your knee before the King of Kings. Ask for His forgiveness. Ask for His salvation. Ask for the blood of Jesus to pay the price for your sins. Receive the gift of eternal life that comes in Christ Jesus. Allow Him to carry you forward. Obey whatever He says. If He wants you to get baptized, get baptized. It's cool. You know, do that which is whatever He reveals to you, do it at the time that He reveals it. And go on with that. And then when you're done, hey, if you have something to do, do it. If you have something for you to say, say it. It's not that hard. And if you make a wrong turn, He'll correct you. He'll show you. You know, sometimes people live in, you know, incredible fear. I've seen this among a lot of Christians. They live in incredible fear of making a wrong decision or a wrong mistake. You know, and that paralyzes them from making any decision. And the thing is that, you know, there's this fire and brimstone set of people that call themselves Christians, that, you know, a big part of what they do is you're going to be struck down with this and you're going to be punished with that. Like, you know, God is waiting there with a big stick. And, you know, honestly, we punish ourselves. You know, God gives us the chance to make good decisions and good choices. And rather, when you choose life, you get the good results of those choices. When you choose death, you get the negative repercussions of those choices. It's that simple. So, you know, very often the thing that ends up happening is that rather than, God just lets people have the consequences of their choices. They punish themselves. You know, a lot of the, in the book of Revelation, there's a lot of stuff that's in there about, like, things that happen to the earth, that a lot of it is man reaping what he sows. A lot of it is man reaping what he's sown. It just comes back to him. And when it does, it's a bitter pill. When man messes with God's creation, his genetic code in nature, when man messes with that, it comes back in a negative way. When man messes with God's cycles of life, it comes back in a negative way. When man does not allow for the earth to recover, because even scriptures talk about, look, give the earth a Sabbath. You know, let it recover after you've harvested it for a number of years. For 6 years, let that seventh year, let it have some rest. You know, there's some things about even cycles of planting. When man refuses to do that, he drains the soil completely, and there's no life left in it. And that which could keep going indefinitely with proper stewardship is then used up, destroyed, and there's nothing left. See, man in a state of greed, in a state of the mind of the world, destroys himself for big, quick, and now. You know, the mantra of the world is big, quick, now. That's what the world wants. It wants everything big. You know, you gotta be big, right? You gotta be something huge, massive. That's one way that they validate success, is to be big. And, you know, quick, yep, you gotta have it right away, now. People can't wait. They can't wait for anything. You know, they've done experiments with child psychology, and particularly in the areas of things like delay of gratification. And I don't know if you've ever seen that experiment where they took children and they left them in a room by themselves for a short window of time, and they taped them. And before they left, they gave them a marshmallow. And they told the kids, hey, if you can wait till I get back, I'll give you 2 marshmallows. But if you can't wait, you can eat the marshmallow right now. And the kids that, there's a bunch of them that ate it right away. Some kids danced around it for a while. But the kids that waited until the adult got back to get 2 marshmallows, that would wait for something that was that, yes, they wanted it, but they were willing to wait for the appropriate timing. They as they tracked those kids later in life, they found out that they, in general, did much, much, much better in life than those that did not, and those that wanted everything big, quick, and now. Those that knew how to delay gratification and wait for that which was important for them. They had a better life. And they did better in life. You know, there's scriptural principles that when applied, you will have a more successful life. You know, the scriptures themselves is a guidebook for living life in this world. So that you can be in the world but not of the world. You can exist in this life, but then you also know what's really going on, and none of it has a hook in you. You know, why not be free? Why not be free and not be tethered to this world? Not be under its bondage? Why not be free? Why not go through life setting others free, speaking light and truth and life into the others' lives? Why not? Why not be set free and live in that place of freedom rather than following after the world and its broke system? And you know, the world system is broke. It's broke physically and it's broke monetarily. The world system is bankrupt. And it's all functioning on illusion right now. Because, you know, the thing about the world is the world can't create. See, we serve a creative God. You know, God creates and brings life. The world doesn't create anything. It can only take that which has already been created and twist it for its own ends. The world and the world system and the devil depend on God's creation and God's creativity to give them something to twist, to give them something to leech onto. You know, so, hey, that is not the life of a child of God. The life of a child of God is one where you create and you live. You live truth, you live abundance, you live in what it is that God has for you. Not what it is that the world seeks to do apart from Him, and however the world may try to cheat and to destroy it, to try to get you to partner in that. You don't have to be part of that at all. You can walk out of that. You can step away from all that. And in the process of doing that, you can allow God to reveal to you His plan, His purpose, how He would take care of you. You know, God is always taking care of His people. Always. He does not allow the children of the righteous to go begging bread. He takes care of those that are His. And they do not perish. They walk and live in eternal life. You were meant to walk and live in eternal life this day. It's not something for a long time in the future. This day you were meant to have life eternal and to walk in it. You know, there's freedom in walking in the life that God intended for you. You know, the world promises freedom, but people end up in bondage. God promises freedom, and it comes by becoming a slave to righteousness, slave to truth, a slave to His will. But what you find is that when you do that, you're free. When you do that, when you of your own free will allow yourself to be nailed to the cross with Him, dying to this world, dying to everything that's in the world, when you allow for the Spirit of God to do that in you and to bring you to that place, you die to yourself and you live in Christ. And when you live in Christ Jesus, life is abundant. Life is full. Life is eternal, because life is hid in Him. And in Him, we live, move, have our being, and we have that which we need. And that which we need has blessed our souls and the souls of those around us. God intends to bless you, to make you a blessing. And, you know, it is a beautiful thing when God unlocks in your heart His plan and purpose for you. And once He's done that for you, don't ever, ever, ever turn from it. Allow Him to reveal and show you how to walk forward in what it is that God has for you. Because what He has for you is beautiful. What He has for you makes a difference. What He has for you is part of the joy of the life that you will live here in the earth. Because He does that. He does that in you and through you, knowing what it is that will please your heart, knowing what it is that will give you satisfaction and joy. God orchestrates the circumstances of your life so that you can have that. You know, He wants you to have joy. He wants you to have peace. He wants you to know the abundant life. But it's in Him. Don't look to any man. Don't look to any person. Look to Christ Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Allow Him to reveal His plan and purpose for you. And as you walk in Him, know that the truth sets you free. And with that, hey, love you guys. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. We always love to hear from you. And you can also drop us a mail on our Facebook page. Just search for Faith Mix and you will find us. So hey, drop us a line, say hi. Always love to hear from you guys. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Keep on keeping on, and we'll talk really soon. All right. Bye.